In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Tonight you will know that the Lord has come to deliver you, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for the virgin is with child. Eve's daughter will bring forth the man who will save her brother from his brother from death. That ancient serpent had done his worst. He stripped from the crowning jewel of God's creation the image and likeness of God. One bite, that was it. One bite. And man did not simply fall, but he tumbled downward into the very depths of hell. And there you were conceived. There you were born, for flesh gives birth to flesh, sinners give birth to sinners, enemies of God give birth to enemies of God. You were born in hell, broken by sin, lost and condemned by nature. The miracle of life brought only death, and not just physical death after 70 or 80 years, but eternal death in hell. What pain and suffering we have given to our children. What shame and agony our parents have passed down to us. Lord, save us. That ancient dragon stripped from us the image and likeness of God, but he could not strip from God his love. Softly, calmly, God walked to those two terrified creatures in the cool of the day. "What have you done?" he asked. Both deflect. They know the sin that's still stuck in their teeth. They know that he knows too. But they do not know that God loves sinners. In grace, God allows them to direct his attention elsewhere, first to the woman, then to the serpent. But there it remains. On him his wrath burns. No questions, only condemnation. No answers, only wrath that will be poured out on him. The seed of the woman will come and crush your head, God declared. And yet to those two leaf-covered creatures who are eavesdropping, there is no greater joy. How shocked they must have been at those words, joyfully shocked. How loving of God to create all this for them, yes, but how even more loving, 1,000 times more, that he would come and save them. Fig leaves will not be able to hide their shame, the shame of sin. So God gives them garments of skin, new garments to hide that shame. And Adam gives to his wife a new name. No longer will she be called woman, but Eve, meaning life. For life will come from her womb to the entire world. The years went by and Adam's descendants were waiting for this seed of the woman. The earth was filled with mankind, all born from woman, but also all born from man, and the seed of man cannot save. So they waited. But our ancient relatives are just as bad at waiting as we are. They grew impatient. They forgot why they were waiting. It's hard to wait. And only 8 were left. So a flood destroyed all the wicked and saved that tiny remnant, saved only those who were waiting for the promised seed. Languages were then divided, nations created. The promise was given to Abraham, "Through your seed all nations will be blessed." Yet his children lived in Egypt for many, many generations. God sent them plagues. He sent them manna and quail and water, but not the seed of the woman. The judges ruled the land, then the kings. 10 tribes gave up the weight, and so were exiled forever. Judah himself forgot that he was waiting for the seed of the woman, and so he too was exiled into Babylon for 70 years to teach him that he is waiting, to teach him how to patiently wait. And only a small remnant returned. In spite of the ups and downs, the idolatry and wickedness, the arrogance and apathy, in spite of the thousands of years that went by, the Romans ruling, and the seed of David reduced, or the line of David reduced to a poor, lowly virgin from Nazareth. Still, the serpent could not steal from God his love. For God always keeps his word. The woman conceived not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Virgin Mary was found to be with child, and not just any child, but Emmanuel, which means God with us. He who spoke thousands of years ago to Adam grows in Mary's womb. He who softly, calmly walked to those two terrified creatures in the garden, empties himself of all power so that he might be carried around by his Virgin Mother. The time had finally come. God sent his Son. It is what the world had been waiting for thousands of years. God had finally come to his people, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head and undo the curse of sin and death. He would pull men out of the deep darkness of hell by his death on the cross. He would restore the image and likeness of God once more by his death. He would do it all for them. For the serpent could vanquish man, but he could not vanquish the love of God. Oh, the glow of a pregnant woman. A new mother at that, bustling with pride. Bringing a child into this world, and not just any child, but she is the mother of God. Her child is God himself, Yahweh. She was his temple. She was his house. She protected her belly, ate properly, and did all of those things expectant mothers do. But this is also a shameful glow, for Joseph is not the father. He knew it, and so did everyone else. What would Nazareth say if he took Mary home as his wife? Her story is ludicrous at best. Single women, virgins, just don't conceive on their own. So even righteous Joseph had a hard time believing. It's hard to wait. He planned to divorce her quietly so as not to expose her to public scandal, but still it's hard to hide a pregnant belly. For centuries, man had waited for this seed of the woman. And when he finally came, the woman was viewed as a whore, not as blessed among all women. So God sent his angel to Joseph in a dream to remind him of the promise spoken in Eden. Isaiah expounds on that promise. The seed of the woman will be with child. Yes, a virgin. She will give birth to a son. He will crush the serpent's head, so name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Don't be afraid that Mary was unfaithful to you. Don't be afraid of the whispers in Nazareth. She is the woman, and her child is the promised seed. It's hard to wait. But strengthened by this word from God, Joseph took Mary home as his wife, but he did not have any union with her. She remained a virgin. So what if Nazareth's eyes still lingered? So what if their mouths still whispered? So what if Bethlehem's inn still rejected them? To those who are waiting, there is no greater joy than this. It's hard to wait, but the Lord always keeps his promise. Advent now draws to a close, and our Lord has not returned as we hope. So be it. Advent still gives way to great joy and glory. We still are waiting, mind you, but now we turn our attention joyfully back toward the manger in Bethlehem, back toward that holy family, back to the infant Lord. It's hard to wait. But those who wait on the Lord will never be disappointed. And even though we wait on this earth, let us not become discouraged, but let us rather with cheerful and joyful hearts sing the songs of Christmas. Let us delight to hear the angelic song once more, not simply flowing from their lips, but also from our lips in the Gloria in Excelsis. Let us eagerly listen to St. Luke's simple yet profound Christmas story. Let us enjoy the peace that God gives to us on whom his favor rests. Let us celebrate and enjoy Christmas, for the virgin is with child, the seed of the woman has come, the blessed virgin has conceived by the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel is coming, the wait is almost over. It's hard to wait, and the last few hours always seem to take the longest. Time seems to slow down. Yet his promises will never fail. The Lord will come for you. And in the evening you will know, in this very evening, you will know that the Lord has come to deliver you. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord shining brightly from his manger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.